With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Alexander DeSanctis of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Alexandra, we start with the good martini, of course. And the good news is today that around 5:30, at least according to the schedule, the U.S. Senate is going to take up what's colloquially known as the 20-week abortion ban. It's officially known as the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which essentially bans abortions after 20 weeks of a pregnancy unless there are extenuating circumstances. And not surprisingly, it requires 60 votes in the Senate. It doesn't look like we're going to get there. We will get a few Democratic votes, but not enough. You've still got the pro-choice or pro-abortion movement lobbying hard against this, saying that this is just an unconscionable attack on women's rights. I got an email from the National Abortion Federation this morning saying the Senate once again is considering a blatantly unconstitutional nationwide ban on abortion care after 20 weeks, which is a threat to women's lives and health and at odds with medical standards of care. I just talked with Lila Rose of Live Action right around the time of the Roe v. Wade anniversary, and she said they've gotten viability to 21 weeks now, so this seems more than reasonable. And you've been running the numbers and looking at a lot of polling that shows that the Democrats, this is good news, even though the bill won't ultimately probably pass today, that the Democrats are way in the minority on this, and Americans are wising up to what's really at stake here.
They really are. And yeah, so I guess it sort of sounds bad that the bill probably won't pass, but I think it's great that it's even coming up for a vote. It's forcing Democratic senators, for one thing, to admit to the fact that they support abortion at 5 months gestation, which is very late in pregnancy. And on top of that, it's highlighting the contrast between the vast majority of Americans and the Democratic Party's official stance, which favors unlimited abortion on demand. For instance, over three quarters of Americans, according to this new poll from Marist out this month, over three quarters of Americans support abortion restrictions. About two thirds say that they support a 20-week ban, including, this is huge, including over half of Democrats and half of self-described pro-choice Americans. About 60% of women support this ban. So the idea that, you know, the Democratic Party is just aligning with the average American who's pro-choice is not true. You know, most Americans, a slim majority of Americans describe themselves as pro-choice, but that does not mean that they're in favor of abortion after 20 weeks. Most are not.
And Alexandra, you've been all over this story. You do such a great job of reporting on Planned Parenthood, so many other issues related to the abortion debate. People have tried to fire back at you for being in favor, obviously, of this legislation, saying that if anybody's getting abortion this late in the pregnancy, it's got to be due to some sort of catastrophic development in the pregnancy. You point out that that's not necessarily the case. And oftentimes, or at least sometimes, there's misdiagnoses in these cases.
There really are. And this is something that I think we don't talk about enough, but there's this kind of rhetoric on the left that, you know, abortion late in pregnancy is always because the mother is dying if she doesn't have an abortion. And that's so rarely the case. And the numbers that we have on late-term abortion in the first place are pretty, I wouldn't say shady, but they're not super detailed just because a lot of states don't report abortion numbers. So it's hard to just rely on data. But you know, based on the best research that I've looked at, most late-term abortions take place for the same reasons that early-term abortions take place, which are, you know, kind of personal decisions, life, where women are in their life, or their partner doesn't want to have a kid, or things like this. It's not because a woman's, you know, dying somewhere and absolutely her child must be done away with to save her life. That's just not the case. And I think that's one more sort of smokescreen thrown up by the left to defend abortion.
Last question on this, Alexandra, and you mentioned how most people are opposed to the 5-month abortions and thereafter, and Democrats, by and large, are in favor of it. The same day as the March for Life, the vast majority of Democrats in the House weren't just pro-abortion. They were still in favor of taking human life after the baby's been born. There was a House bill called the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, which essentially requires life-saving measures to be taken if, in fact, a baby survives a botched abortion. So born alive, and 183 out of 189 Democrats voted against this. So is there a line for most Democrats at all on this issue?
I really, it's hard to believe that that happened. You know, the last time they considered this bill passed by a voice vote, or a similar bill, I guess, which defined children born alive in a botched abortion as persons, passed by a voice vote. So clearly the Democratic Party has really radicalized on this. But again, bringing it back to why this is our good martini, I think it just goes to show that the Democratic stance on abortion is not what most Americans want. Planned Parenthood and NARAL and these other abortion rights groups just keep insisting that Americans are pro-choice, and therefore we have to have abortion at all stages of pregnancy funded by the government. And Democrats increasingly, as they're forced to vote with the abortion lobby on this, are growing more and more out of line with the American people.
Clearly the case, and a big point being made at the March for Life this year was that science is clearly on the pro-life side, and I think that might be a big reason why so many people are in support of legislation like we're seeing in the Senate today, and hopefully there's a miracle and this does get through, but at least things seem to be moving in the right direction in terms of the way Americans see the issue. Let's move to the bad martini now, Alexandra, and let's move on to Fire and Fury, which unfortunately will factor into both of our bad and crazy martinis today, the largely discredited and in some cases absolutely hyped book by Michael Wolff on the first year of the Trump administration. He's been making the rounds on the interviews, and I believe it was a week ago Friday that he was a guest on Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO, and they were talking about the book, and Bill Maher asked him a question that largely goes to prove that he hasn't read the book, which is, what else would you like us to know that no one else has asked you? But here's how that exchange went, which is edited for, you know, HBO type language.
Is there something that you think, boy, why don't they ask me about this that I put in there that they're not talking about?
There is, but I can't tell you what it is. There is something in the book that I was absolutely sure of, but it was so incendiary that I just didn't have the ultimate proof.
God,
that,
is it a woman thing?
Well, I didn't have the blue dress.
Now, is it about a woman?
It is.
Oh, it is.
You just have to read between
please.
The lines.
Just have to read between the lines. So some folks in the media did that, and he mentioned it was towards the end of the book. And the one statement that seemed to stand out was that Trump has allegedly been spending a lot of time alone on Air Force One with Nikki Haley and ultimately grooming her for a national political career. Nikki Haley was a guest on a Politico podcast following that. This actually ran late last week. This is kind of an extended clip, goes a little over a minute, but here she not only denounces the report, explains why it's absolute hogwash, and then even takes it farther.
It is absolutely not true. It is highly offensive, and it's disgusting. You know, if you look at what and I've said this before, it amazes me what people will do and the lies they will say for money and power. And in politics, it's rampant. But here you have a man who's basically saying, I've been spending a lot of time on Air Force One. I have literally been on Air Force One once. And there were several people in the room when I was there. He says that I'm talking a lot with the president in the Oval about my political future. I've never talked once to the president about my future, and I am never alone with him. So the idea that these things come out, that's a problem, but it goes to a bigger issue that we need to always be conscious of. At every point in my life, I've noticed that if you speak your mind and you're strong about it, and you say what you believe, there's a small percentage of people that resent that. And the way they deal with it is to try and throw arrows, lies or not, to diminish you.
So, Alexandra, this happened more than once to Nikki Haley during her state political career in South Carolina. There's been some blowback against Michael Wolff, but not nearly what you would expect if it was a Democratic politician, most likely. What's your reaction to all this?
Oh, it just drives me absolutely crazy because it's just proof once again that conservative women cannot be successful without the left absolutely losing their minds over it. The idea that a minority woman would be in the Trump administration, be perhaps, you know, one might argue the most successful figure in the Trump administration so far. She's been doing an amazing job at the UN. They just can't take it. It goes against their entire narrative, which is that women are always progressive. And if they're not progressive, well, then they're gender traitors. I get that one thrown at me from time to time. If we don't agree, we must not really be women.
What do you make of how Haley's handled it? And obviously you can't prove a negative, but she did about as well as you can there by pointing out it not only has it not happened, it's not even possible that it's happened.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think what I kind of respected about it was that she didn't immediately go to the sexism charge. She said that, you know, there's a small percentage of people out there who just don't like when you stand up for what you believe. And I think that's true. And I admire the fact that she didn't call sexism and say it was because she's a successful woman, even though probably the fact that she's a conservative woman is definitely a threat to the left. I liked the classiness of her response. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's been very classy and very forceful, and that's kind of how Nikki Haley has conducted herself all along. And I think part of this is not only that she's conservative, but we're in an era now where if you're in any way connected to Trump, you're obviously questioned in terms of loyalty to the country, to rationality, whatever, from the left. They just get so unhinged when it comes to President Trump. And the fact that there's been no controversy between the two has probably fed into this as well. But, you know, maybe she's just competent.
Perhaps so. But I also wonder, you know, a lot of the times we hear anybody, any woman willing to work with Trump must be, you know, again, a traitor to her gender because she's looking past Trump's treatment of women and such. But Nikki Haley's job has nothing to do with that. She's not in charge of directing Trump's schedule. She's not in charge of interacting with Trump. She's just supposed to go to the UN and represent the U.S. there. And she's done a great job of that. I wish we could leave it at that.
Wow. Michael Wolff was wrong about something. Add that to the pile of things that he's been wrong about in this book. So, Alexandra, let's stick with Fire and Fury, unfortunately, for a moment here. Last night was the Grammys, the 60th annual Grammys. I can blissfully say that I didn't watch any of it because in addition to the fact that I had a feeling it'd be pretty political for no good reason, music today is mostly just trash, but I'm old, so you probably disagree with that on some level. But one of the things that host James Corden did here was, for some reason, do a spoof of a dramatic reading of Fire and Fury, hoping to pick up a spoken word Grammy. And so he had a bunch of celebrities on there. Cher was one of them. And here's the last bit of it. One's DJ Khaled, who I don't really know much about. And then there was a mystery reader who he thought would be just perfect for the effort to win a Grammy.
He reprimanded the housekeeping staff for picking up his shirt from the floor. If my shirt is on the floor, it's because I want it on the floor. Another one. It's Sweet or Best. It's DJ Khaled. Matter of fact, this is the best spoken word album in the game. I'm finally going to win my Grammy.
So this isn't going to work. Next!
It's not going to work. Everything I do works.
Stand by. Take one.
He had a longtime fear of being poisoned. One reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's. Nobody knew he was coming, and the food was safely pre-made.
That's it. We've got it. That's the one.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
The Grammy's in the bag?
In the bag.
And the audience just absolutely loved it, of course. Speaking of Nikki Haley, she tweeted after that saying, "I've always loved the Grammys, but to have artists read the Fire and Fury book killed it. Don't ruin great music with trash. Some of us love music without the politics thrown in it." It also comes at an interesting time for Hillary Clinton, Alexandra, because just a couple of days ago, there were allegations raised from her 2008 campaign that she kept her faith advisor, keep that in mind, a guy named Bernd Strider, on the job and reassigned a woman who had accused Strider of sexually harassing her. And now there are stories courtesy of BuzzFeed and elsewhere that there were other women involved as well. Very creepy things that this guy was emailing and texting and saying, always very handsy and that sort of thing. And ultimately, no consequences for him altogether. Hillary Clinton tweeted about it, though, saying, "A story appeared today about something that happened in 2008. I was dismayed when it occurred, but was heartened the young woman came forward, was heard, and had her concerns taken seriously and addressed." By addressed, demoted, and reassigned, while the other guy faced no consequences. She says, "I called her today to tell her how proud I am of her and to make sure she knows what all women should. We deserve to be heard." So, Alexandra, no surprise that Hillary Clinton and her campaign enabled someone like this, but her hypocrisy here and her shamelessness and the fact that she was celebrated in this Me Too environment at the Grammys just takes the cake.
Oh, I mean, it completely drives me nuts because not only is it terrible that Hillary Clinton did this and, you know, overlooked this kind of misconduct, but also the left doesn't seem to care at all. She's at the Grammys reading from Fire and Fury as if this story hadn't broken at all. And all these people are talking about Me Too every other day, talking about, you know, they're happy to pile on examples of Republican men, you know, committing this kind of misconduct. But as soon as their hero, Hillary Clinton, turns a blind eye to it, well, we don't really need to mention that. We'll just focus on Fire and Fury and Trump, right? Because Hillary's the queen. So we don't need to talk about Me Too just right now, you know?
It's amazing. Yeah, there's a local radio show host here in Washington who often says, if it weren't for double standards, the left would have no standards at all. So One little fun note here, and we started on pro-life today, and we'll close on pro-life. One person at the Grammys not afraid to point out that she's pro-life. I don't know exactly how to say her name. I think it's Joy Villa or Villa. Turned up at the 60th Grammys, according to Fox News, in a dress meant to make a statement. The singer wore a white wedding dress that she hand-painted with the image of a fetus surrounded by a rainbow paired with a purse that read, "Choose life." And she said, "I'm a pro-life woman. This year I chose to make a statement on the red carpet like I always do. I'm all about life." And so, Alexandra, in the toxic environment of Hollywood, that's about as courageous as you can get.
Oh, man, Greg, I completely agree. I was super heartened by this, to see this. You know, the stars always are putting on their Planned Parenthood pins and patting each other on the back for hashtag standing up for Planned Parenthood in this, you know, hateful Trump environment. But to wear that dress takes real courage, to be looked down on by everyone in the room. That's a huge deal, I think.
Alexandra, this was so much fun. Why don't we do it tomorrow?
Absolutely. See you then, Greg.
Alexandra DeSanctis of National Review in for Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And tune in again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.